I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hear this, right now.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Rupp and Jason Sukanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
It is January 16, 2020. All right, welcome back to our show.
Wow.
We are burning around the racetrack at warp speed. I mean,
don't get spun out.
Maybe not.
That's scary.
What?
The
first hour? It was scary.
It was scary. No,
it's hard to do this.
That Daytona crash, man, that's... I know there's a lot of stuff in sports. I mean, guys get hurt, but...
Well, all those crashes are scary.
But there's not... Well, I guess bull riding, maybe, like rodeo, but there's not another sport I feel like...
That was something else, though.
When...
Was that particularly bad?
That was particularly bad.
I feel like...
Car goes airborne, flips upside down, and as it lands, gets just demolished by another car.
Right in the... Yeah. And it was in the driver's window, like where that thing hit it.
Usually the big ones will just be a lot of cars piled up or spinning out, and occasionally a car will lift partially off the ground, but you very rarely see... complete off the ground.
Yeah, like if you were watching a movie, it was one of those and that happened, like they did a, you know, you're watching Days of Thunder or something, Cold Trickle. And
Dick Trickle.
Yeah, in the movie it's Cold Trickle.
I forget about Dick Trickle.
And Rowdy Yates.
Happy penis.
When if that were to happen, you'd be a little bit like, really? You gotta go that over the top and the car catches on fire. I mean he's got serious injuries, but they're not life threatening, but how you survive stuff like that at those kind of speeds is a testament to how safe those cars are. Because that was my first thought when I saw it, was like, oh my God, he's dead.
See, when I saw it, I was like, man, that, you know, these crashes happen all the time, but I don't follow NASCAR. So I will trust that if you tell me that this is a really bad one.
Yeah.
I just thought maybe people, it was a bigger story because it's right at the finish line.
Well, I mean, that's true, but it was certainly scary. And then
I didn't really know
they brought the black tarp out. So you couldn't
see that. That was scary.
Yeah. And you could watch like when it was on fire, the fuel's dripping. Like you can see it.
How did that thing not explode?
Well, that's what I'm like. And it seemed like the whole thing was surreal because one, the announcers are acting like, you know, he blew a tire or something. They're just, you know, they're like, oh, you know, he's on the roof.
Rubbing's racing.
Yeah. And like no one seems to think like there's any sort of urgency. And then the crew comes out there. And look, I know those guys are professionals, but boy, it sure seemed like they were taking their sweet-ass time with the fire extinguishers. The damn car's on fire, and you can see the fuel dripping down. And I was like, in my mind, I'm like, yeah, maybe hustle there. I want to put a little chutzpah there in your steps. I couldn't believe the broadcast was being so nonchalant about the whole thing.
Well, I didn't know that you could slide across the finish line like that.
Yes.
Like, skid through, like...
He finished fourth.
Yeah, I thought he was ninth.
I didn't see that.
Well, maybe it was. I thought it was fourth, but I may be wrong.
But finished.
Important points for the year.
He finished upside down, but he finished.
Yeah.
I didn't know you could do that. Anyway, when they were, so I didn't watch it live, of course.
Yeah.
Because I never watched NASCAR, but
well,
I went
back.
Well,
also got delayed until the next day.
So. Yeah. I went back and watched the video of it. And I tell you what, the black tarp thing was the scariest thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like the football tent on the sideline, or like when they put down a horse, you know?
Yeah, you're like, why?
And it's like,
why do you have that?
Well, it's you thought you were watching death then.
And
when
right,
they bring
was,
that out.
You're right, he was ninth.
When they bring that thing out, I mean, you're like, holy crap, he's dead.
Yeah.
They don't want us to see them carrying his body out of there.
Yeah.
And then there was somebody caught there was like a sneak shot of them giving him chest compressions, and somebody caught that through, I don't know. They filmed it, and that then makes you think he might be dead or close to dead.
Yeah, it's spooky.
So how often do you watch live death on TV? I mean, it's just...
No, and that goes to show you, for all the Kellen Winslows, you know, this is war sort of stuff. That is the one it's the one sport, again, there's two to me, because I feel like if you're getting on the back of a bull, you know, then that's some scary stuff. But where death is, I mean, it's a reality of it. Like, that is a legit thing that can happen. You're in a hunk of metal taking a 45 degree turn at 200 miles an hour. Yeah, that's the reality of it. And it just every now and then, because the cars are so safe and they've got the new wall technology, and it doesn't happen very often, but it does happen. And I think that's kind of one of those reminders that yeah, you can make the sport safe all you want. It's an unsafe sport.
Well,
it just is.
Or you could say it's the safest sport because he's fine. Well, he's not fine.
But he's not dead.
Well, they say he's in the hospital and he is talking to doctors and family.
Yeah.
And his injuries were not life-threatening. It's like, and then you go back and look at the Earnhardt crash where he died, and you look at that and compare it to Ryan Newman, you're like, how did he die in that? You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's just like because
they didn't have the safer barriers and the cars weren't built the same way.
I know. It just looks, it's just visceral. It looks
exactly
a lot worse.
It looks way worse than the Earnhardt crash. And what I've been, and like, I'm no NASCAR expert. I'm a casual fan at best. But what I always heard about the Earnhardt one and what I've heard about NASCAR in general is, the longer the crash goes, the actual better it is. They said sometimes when it's rolling like that, it can be scary looking because you got parts flying off. But with each roll of that car, the impact becomes less, right? You're slowing down, and those cars are meant to take the impact of rolling. They said with the Dale Earnhardt one, why it was so scary, and one, he didn't have a full face mask on in his helmet. And they don't have the Hans device anymore that straps you in. They said the fact that you're going that fast and that he stopped instantly. They said those are the scary ones, and when you hit something and it stops, because all the impact is right then and there, as opposed to the ones that are spread out over time.
I can't imagine the fear pee when you're driving when you're driving hard.
Yep.
And that split second when you know it's out of control.
Yeah.
At whatever, how fast do those guys go?
200 miles an hour.
Yeah, Daytona 200-ish. Yeah.
So you're going 200 miles an hour and you're in control because you're really good at what you do. And yep. You know, you've done this a million times, but just that one time when it's that OS moment of it's out of control and you don't know what's going to happen. That just has to be terrifying.
I can't even imagine. One of the scariest things that I've ever done in my entire life was, when they had, and it wasn't the NASCAR, but they had the stock cars. I forget what it was, but they had some stock cars out at PIR and we were doing our show out there. And I got to ride in one of the...
That was the old champ car.
The old champ car. And we got to ride in one. They set up like the two-seater, and you got to drive and to see what it's like. And they weren't going, you know, it's not like you're going 200 miles an hour. I think the most we got going was like 140 or 150 or whatever. But when you hit that turn and you're right up against the wall, I've never been more terrified in my entire life. And I can't imagine... what, like you said, what that feels like. I mean, those guys are professionals and, you know, but for the average schnook to know what that feels like, just to be in the car and to be so close to someone in those turns, you watch the end of that Daytona thing. Those things are packed together. You're 200 miles an hour and you're inches away from one another and you're bumping into each other. And then, like you said, that moment when you realize, whoops, yeah, it's not good.
Brutal. Well, the update on Ryan Newman is that he is, you know, none of his injuries are life-threatening. We don't really know what happened to him.
No, I haven't.
Other than he was in a car accident.
Yeah, I haven't seen any updates.
But he is awake and talking to family and doctors in the hospital.
Yeah.
I guess there's a hospital, like, right on one of the turns at Daytona.
Oh,
did you know that?
No, but I'm
yeah, it's like right there.
I'm assuming in NASCAR, you probably get the best medical care in the world when it comes to those things.
Well, they know what they're doing. They're trained.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you wonder if the hospital being so close helped save his life. And we don't know how close he was to dying.
No.
But it sure as hell looked bad. All right, there's a little hot, ladies and gentlemen, hot NASCAR talk.
Yeah.
Impromptu, too, because I teased NBA All-Star Weekend, and you just cut right through that. You said, nope. Let's talk car crash.
Well, I think you mentioned something. I don't remember what you... He mentioned something and it led to that.
Wait, you're pinning it on me?
I am putting it on.
I think I might have been the one that turned that conversation.
Something happened.
I said something. I said, don't get spun out then.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I said.
It was a visceral reaction. I couldn't help it. One of you baited me. You know what? You were management. I was just a player, and I cannot be held responsible for taking that conversation in a different direction.
It's always someone else's fault, Big Sue.
Exactly. I've learned from the Houston Astros.
But I tell you what, when you start going, I follow your lead, bro.
Well, let's blame Mike then.
Yeah, let's blame Mike.
Let's take it up the chain of command.
Good little NASCAR segment, though.
Wait, Swag's the executive producer. Let's blame him.
He claims to be.
He claims.
I don't know what he's executively produced ever.
I don't know, but he claims that he's the executive producer of this and every other show.
What does that mean?
I don't know, but he's got an office to you.
He didn't do anything for us.
He's got an office and a title. You don't.
That's true.
Sounds like someone's jealous to me.
All right, coming up next, NBA All-Star Weekend. 413 on the Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, coming up on in the news in our next segment, the Forest Grove couple that's out in Japan there.
Yeah.
One of them has coronavirus, or at least did. We have an update.
Yeah, and there's a new, like, high-profile death.
Really?
Yeah.
From coronavirus?
Yeah.
Oh, didn't see that. Can't wait to hear it, newsman.
It's getting scarier. Well, not newsman, news contributor.
News
but
contributor.
That's what I do. Like, you have a coronavirus story, and I'm like, hey, you know what?
Well, I got to bring it local, like KATU.
Oh, no, this isn't local.
This is about the Forest Grove couple. Otherwise, we shouldn't care.
Yeah.
We're like, how does it relate to us?
Well, the 1,000 people that are dead. That's kind of scary.
I am thoroughly enjoying, there's some guy on here who'd like to challenge you to a sports argument contest. Did you see that?
No. Why is that?
You would lose any argument in sports with him.
Oh.
But he doesn't want to go on the radio, though.
Oh, okay.
Because of his work status. So I think...
I'm
not sure.
What are we...
I don't know. But Neil Olshay, I think, is texting into the show.
Oh. Thanks,
guys,
Neil.
Move on.
Is that what's happening?
Yeah, I'm a little...
I love... You would lose any argument in sports with me. I love sports argument guy. Like, this is about sports arguments.
Why would I... Can you really win a sports argument?
There are judges and everything. That's what we do.
If it's is this
don't
like
you
a,
know that
is this like a first take sort of thing? Like, all right, you can have a different opinion than me.
Some
great
guy wants to challenge you to sports argument,
but he doesn't want to go on the air. So
but he just, can't. No, he's too high profile.
Okay, so he just
too
wants,
much of a big shot.
So he just wants to meet up with me like at a bar. Like, are you
probably
buying?
Not?
Like, what's happening?
No, probably
or do you just
not
want to yell at me?
But
on
he
the,
does promise that you would lose any argument in sports.
Well, I mean, if he's promising, then why do we need to have the debate? He's already guaranteed victory.
I mean, he has planted his flag.
That's true. All right, I love that. You know what? Then I am here to admit that I would lose any argument and, you know.
You wouldn't win.
No, I love you.
You're out of touch.
Yeah.
And so am I. The only person out of touch is someone who thinks any of this is about sports arguments. That's like the most out of touch thing ever. But I love you. You listeners are great. Okay, so All-Star Weekend, did you hear? First of all, we got to start with the national anthem.
Oh yeah, the
did you
the,
catch it?
Was it? I no. I,
you well, were in Vegas, so
I was
you,
in Vegas, but I, you know, like the dutiful sports radio host, despite my
that would lose any
that
sports
would lose
argument.
Any sports argument. I do go back and try to keep up on what's happening, and I did see that this was trending. Was this Shaka Khan?
Yeah,
right? I did see it, and I don't know why everyone was so butthurt over this.
Well, you don't?
It's weird.
Well, I get.
I'm
that
gonna play it.
I get it's different, but.
Many of you may not have heard it. Here is Shaka Khan's national anthem. And yes, a lot of people had a problem with with this rendition.
Oh, say, can you see that the dawn's early light was so proudly we hailed as the twilight. Last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight. Oh, the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming.
Whoa! Yeah, man.
The bombs bursting in air gave proof through night that our flag was still there.
Yeah!
Whoa, say. Yeah.
Stick the landing. Stick it. Oh, I love the That's Chaka Khan's national anthem.
Yeah.
That was the epitome of my brain trying to leave my head and run as far away as possible.
That's awful.
Well, here's my thing.
That is awful.
Have you heard Chaka Khan? And someone
No, I haven't.
Have you ever heard
I just
her
know
sing?
Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan, Chaka Khan.
You got a different rendition.
Does she have any other hits?
It's not my particular cup of tea, but
I know she's been around a long time, but
I don't think it's terrible.
It
wasn't the best.
I mean,
there are some redeeming qualities about it.
I mean, she's
but
obviously,
most of it was like petrifying.
She's obviously got a good voice.
Yeah.
I think she just, you know, she did the Fergie, you know?
Yeah.
Where it's like you're trying to be cool and.
Well, and she did it with no music behind it.
It's just so bad. I don't understand. I will never understand this because I'm just an idiot, I guess.
That's why you're going to lose every argument, yeah. Every sports argument.
Yeah, that guy's not wrong.
Yeah.
We'll turn it into a music argument. I don't understand why the artists will do that. What is that?
Artistic impression, jerk.
Yeah, well, it's artistic impression that up your ass.
God,
that's
you're so
terrible.
White.
It is so
you
terrible.
Basic white bitch.
Do you remember Fergie?
I remember Fergie's.
See, she's trying to get sensual with it.
Mm-hmm.
Also doesn't work.
Some baby making
music. Why is he panned?
What so proudly wave at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars.
All right, I think
she's settled in.
I think we've got it.
Oh no, we don't have it. This is. They call this one of the worst national anthems of all time. And you're telling me this is, Chaka Khan was better than this?
I think they both have their qualities.
This
one's working the tromboner there in the background.
I'm sorry, I think Chaka Khan was worse. I'm sorry, I had to play this. Remember this?
Who's this?
Oh, it's about to.
Oh, is this Carl Lewis?
You see, and the rockets. Red
yeah. I get it back.
I'll make up for it.
Come on.
Yeah, it's Carl Lewis.
For the land of the free. That was our national anthem.
Carl Lewis.
Yeah,
so. So it could be worse, right? You could be Carl Lewis, but look, Chaka Khan's rendition was terrible, and you need to admit it.
Look, I won't admit it. You got the queen of soul, the queen of funk out there that is known for this. She was doing it a cappella. What were you expecting? She was gonna put her stamp on it.
Just
look,
sing it.
It's okay to be a little bit creative with it. I understand, but no. That was so
bad. It was bad. She took a big swinge, and she missed.
Chaka Khan's
great. Yeah, she did. She took 20 swinges and missed. Everywhere.
I am going to say that it probably wasn't my favorite version of the national anthem that I've heard. When I heard it, I did not, because I saw the backlash on Twitter.
Yeah.
I was like, oh.
Well, Twitter.
Yeah, and then I looked at it and I was like, really?
Things get a little wild on Twitter.
It wasn't that bad. I know, people come out of the tall grass getting loose. Yeah. I don't think it was that bad. Oh.
Did you not feel your ears departing your body and running?
No, I didn't.
Did you not feel your soul being crushed into a billion pieces by her high note?
You ever been to like a soul performance like locally? Like that's just kind of what happens. It's part of the genre.
Well,
it's like if like a death metal guy went and sang the national anthem, it may be music to your ears as he his way through the anthem. But to a lot of people, they're like, what the hell?
I think
it's a different impression.
Here's what just happened. I believe that Sook just called you racist. That's what he did.
Did I?
I think that's what just happened.
Oh.
So, Mike, deal with that.
I wasn't aware of that.
I'm not going to deal with that because I think it was objectively bad.
I'm asking where the white power rankings go.
Couldn't agree more. Now it was widely panned.
Now I'm losing sports arguments again. So that guy was right that if he debated me, you
sports
know,
argument.
It would dominate me. But
name another Chaka Khan hit. She's saying, okay. All I remember was Chaka Khan, Chaka Khan.
I'm trying to remember what her, like, what her big,
Chaka Khan.
What her big, like, was it?
There's, in the 70s, she had one that I totally forgot about.
She's before my time.
It's an anthem. I'm Every Woman.
Oh, there you go.
She's saying I'm Every Woman.
Yeah.
Like, and that's a great tune.
Like Sugar.
What?
Missing You.
Yeah, I don't know any of those, but, I'm Every Woman. That's her biggest hit.
Yeah. No. People love her.
So anyway,
but apparently not this time.
All-Star Weekend was great. The dunk contest everybody raved about. Of course, I never watch NBA All-Star Weekend, so I'm just going off of what other people say. But the dunk contest, Aaron Gordon. Yeah, he had one of the best dunks I've ever seen.
He may be the best dunker I've ever seen, and yet he has yet to win. And
yeah, he got robbed. And,
yeah, he said
now we'll never win.
Yeah, he's like, I'm done with this. He goes, I've won it twice and I have no trophies. I would put, and I get he doesn't have the name. Like back in the day, the Jordan.
Wait,
and,
who won it?
The
Connaughton?
No, Derrick Jones.
No, Derrick Jones Jr.
Who also had some pretty incredible dunks.
Can't give it to a white guy.
No.
Sergio. Rudy Fernandez.
He competed in it.
Yeah, and he. I thought he was actually really good.
Brent Barry won the dunk contest. But, he was white.
Oh, he did. That's true.
I don't know if there's been another white guy to win it, but he did in his warm-up jacket. Aaron Gordon, and I know he doesn't have the name, but if you go back and look at like the Jordan and Dominique and back when people actually, you know, the real players competed in that, you look at those dunks, which are iconic that we all remember, and you put them up against what Aaron Gordon's doing, it's child's play. Vince Carter had some sick ones. Vince was is right there, but I don't know if I've ever seen anyone pull off what Aaron Gordon pulls off.
When he,
the dude's insane.
He did the one, if you haven't seen the highlights of the dunk contest, go watch him, because Aaron Gordon did a dunk where he had a bro out there and he threw the ball off the side of the backboard.
Yeah, it's insane.
And he came down the baseline and grabs it with his right hand, 360s.
Yeah, windmill.
And dunks it.
Yeah.
I swear to God, that is the best dunk I've ever seen.
The one where he jumped over the mascot and went underneath both legs, and that was from the first time he got robbed, is one of the best I've ever seen.
And then
I think he had four dunks in this one that I saw the highlights of that are as good as any dunks you will ever see in your entire life.
And yet he didn't
win. Also almost jumped over Taco Fall completely.
Yeah.
Just missed grazing the top of his head.
Taco Fall, for those who don't know, is 7'5".
Yes.
And he spread eagle jumped him.
Yeah, but he teabagged him. He got him on the way over. Yeah.
Well, he still completed the dunk, okay?
Yes, he did.
It wasn't clean. But so that was good. And then you had a walk-off on the 3-point shootout that Damian Lillard would have won. So that's a fraudulent championship by Buddy Hield.
Minus the groin injury.
And then the All-Star game was actually pretty good. The format made it fun, and the guys were getting after it, and it ended on a free throw.
Yeah, the final, that was the only one that everyone was pissed off about, was the fact that it ended on a free throw. But that
play, I liked the
that
format.
Play into 24, people are all kinds of fired up about that. And I guess that, because I didn't see it, but some of the highlights, people were saying that was some of the best basketball they've ever seen.
Yeah, it was good. Well, I mean, it was still an All-Star game, but they, you know, normally they don't care about the All-Star game, and they just do, you know, the alley-oops and crap.
Yeah.
They were getting after it, and Team LeBron, you know, we talked about this, that we thought Team Giannis was tanking with this draft. His draft was terrible.
He's trying to play for the number one pick of next year.
They damn near won it. Team LeBron only won it right at the very end, but the low-key greatest thing that happened on All-Star Weekend was Kawhi Leonard, whom
the Gatorade thing.
I freaking love Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard goes up to the podium to speak to the media, and there's a Gatorade sitting there as sponsorship. And he's like, I'm not sponsored by Gatorade. And he throws it under the table.
What a ball.
Hell yeah.
You know what? Corporate sponsorships be effed. I don't care how much Gatorade paid to be the official drink of the All-Star Weekend. He just chucks it under the table. And
good.
And it's not as if he's making a public. He just mumbles it under his breath and the mic happens to pick it up.
He's like, I'm not sponsored by them.
Not sponsored by Gatorade.
Dude, that guy's great. Okay, we've got in the news coming up next, coronavirus update, 4:32. Here's Mike.
Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 4:36 on 1080 The Fan. That is the station where we reside.
Yes, it is.
It is February 18th, 2020. It is time for In the News. I am your noted newsman. Today is National Battery Day.
Oh, okay. So, huck a battery at someone?
Hey, have you ever had batteries like sit too long and then to go bad on you?
Sure.
Yeah. Guess what?
I think you're supposed to store them
in the fridge.
The fridge, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever had them go bad in the fridge? Just waited too long to use them, and then you get them out of there, and they're like,
yeah, I know. My mom stockpiles batteries. I think that might be an old person thing.
I think it is an old person thing.
Like, my mom and dad just have like a stockpile. I don't think I've bought a battery in like 12 years. You just like, if you go over
there's
there,
a drawer.
Yeah, when you go over to my mom's house, like as you leave, she's like, take some batteries. You're like, oh, you know what? I could use a 9-volt. Thanks.
Well, you can always use batteries.
Sure.
Particularly double A's.
Yeah. But I think if you're like a prepper, like a doomsday prepper, you got to cycle through the batteries.
What do you mean? Like get a new.
Yeah, you can't like store them for like years and years and years and just like expect them to be fine.
It is also National Drink Wine Day.
Oh.
So drink wine.
I did that over the weekend.
I bet you did, pal.
Yes.
They have wine in Vegas?
Lots of really, really good wine.
Ozzy Osbourne has canceled the No More Tours 2 tour.
Say that twice.
So let's try to wrap our head around this. Okay, so this is No More Tours.
Yes, as not
two. This is the second No More Tours, which is funny in and of itself, but now it's canceled.
Well, doesn't he have Parkinson's?
He doesn't say. In typical rock star fashion, all the press release says is he's going to head overseas for medical treatment for various health issues that he's battled over the last year.
Well, he's got Parkinson's. Like, that was fairly recent that he...
Well, you just asked if he had Parkinson's, and now you're saying he has Parkinson's.
Well, I think it was more like a...
I don't know.
Doesn't he have Parkinson's, and is that what this is related to? Because I remember not too long ago, he announced that he had Parkinson's disease. So I'm assuming, and maybe this is wrong of me to assume, but maybe that has something to do with it. And the No More Tours is the play on No More Tears.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think No
the
More Tours
too.
No More Tours also means this may be it. Like
yeah.
There's a hint of,
yeah,
you know, this will be the last one, but this is number two.
I saw Motley Crue twice.
I love that.
On their farewell tour. And I think the Rolling Stones have had like 17.
Well,
of them.
You saw two different farewell tours. Not just two concerts on one farewell tour.
Yes.
You saw two different farewell tours.
Yeah, they played
for the same band.
Yeah, they played at the Sunlight Amphitheater in Ridgefield.
Look.
And then, like, the next year, they were still on the Bye Bye Tour, and then they played at the Moda Center. I was like, whoa, what?
We have what got happened? To try to put a stop to this. This is a problem.
Yeah, I feel
you
like.
You cannot do the farewell tour and have it. And then do farewell tour to Electric Boogaloo. You can't do it that way.
Although
a farewell tour means this is it.
You have to sign a contract like a...
I mean, I guess you can.
Like a loser leave town match, like an old wrestling? Like if you say this is it, then you're contractually obligated to never tour again?
You're preying on people like Elton John did this, didn't he?
Sure. But here's the thing. If you fall for the no more tour thing, shame on you. You know, at that point, buyer beware. You know good and damn well
that it's never a farewell tour. But what if then one time it is, and you're like, well, now I don't believe that this band is going on a farewell tour, so I'll just wait for the second farewell tour. And oh wait, there isn't one.
This is why I went and saw Bob Dylan. It's why I went and saw Bob Seger, and it's why I went and saw Willie Nelson the last handful of years.
Wait, how old is Bob Seger?
It's not good.
God.
Were you at that show?
Not the recent one, but I saw him within the last handful of years.
It's bad. It's not Willie Nelson bad.
He's like shuffling around on a walker.
It's bad. But this is why you go see those tours, because I know that when I go see that show, it may not be good, but at the same time, that may be the last time you ever get to see them, because if one of them dies, you're like, oh, that sounds about right. So that's the reason why you go, when they're like, hey, this could be it. Probably won't be, but it could be. And so you need to take the warning.
It's true. Farewell tour also means we suck now, but this is it.
Well, that we'd like to make a lot of money. I mean, I don't blame them for a shameless cash grab.
It means a lot of things. When you put farewell tour, it means we need money.
Yeah.
We're not any good anymore, but this is probably your last chance. You can't do that twice. I'm sorry. You can't do that twice, man.
I think you can.
Well, Ozzy did, but now he's canceled it.
Well, yeah. Crazy. Here's the thing. Had he not canceled it, people would have come.
Oh, maybe, guarantee.
Not as many as the first No More Tours tour, but they would have come. I'll tell you what. I don't think they would have gotten my, whatever, $70.
I think Ozzy. When was the height of Ozzy?
Oh, peak Ozzy?
Mid-80s?
Well, Black Sabbath Ozzy 70s. Is probably the peak Ozzy, like late 70s, early
80s. Yeah, but once he was just Ozzy, it was probably in the 80s.
No, 90s was, the early 90s is probably peak Ozzy Osbourne.
That was clearly his TV show, come on.
Yeah, that was people old, love that. Wasted Ozzy.
That bothers me that there, because this is Mike, right? You probably only know Ozzy Osbourne for...
Well, I know him for Black Sabbath.
Oh, that's, yeah, you're a metal guy.
Yeah.
But there is a whole group of people that only know him from that stupid show where he was drunk and stumbling around. And that blows, because Ozzy Osbourne is a musical freaking legend. And that album, the No More Tears album, which I want to say was early 90s. Let's go like 92 or something. That is as good a rock metal album as there is. That thing is amazing and was the peak of solo Ozzy Osbourne.
I feel like he's been out there way too long, though.
Well,
you know, dude,
he's been around since.
Hang it up. Yeah, just caught, dude.
Well, he keeps trying to. He keeps canceling his tours.
Well, he's not trying to hang it up. He just keeps getting sick. He keeps trying to go back out.
Well, now he's got.
Stop, Oz.
Now he's got Parkinson's, and stop. So I would assume that's God. The end of it, right? Like, you can't rock and roll with Parkinson's, can you?
I don't know. P1 Scott says, Bob Seger 2020 tour title. We've got tonight. Hopefully. We've got tonight. Maybe not tomorrow.
Yeah.
Probably not tomorrow. Forest Grove couple, Rebecca and Kent Frazier, all they want to do is get out of Japan.
Yes.
They are over there because they were on the Diamond Princess,
the cruise ship.
And, of course, coronavirus broke out. And Rebecca, we told you this on In the News a couple of weeks ago, she actually contracted coronavirus, tested positive for it on the boat, and then she gets shuffled off to a hospital.
They're like, hey, get out of here.
So the guy, Kent, stays on the boat because he doesn't have it. And then Rebecca, who does have it, gets extracted. She's in a hospital. He stays on the boat. So the U.S. comes by, and they're like, hey, we're America. We want to fly Americans not infected with the virus, we want to fly them back to the States. Okay?
Yeah.
So they're flying people, just Americans, to further quarantine in California and in Texas. Two different spots. So she was not allowed to go because the hospital that she's in Tokyo said that she was sick. But she claims 14 others who were also sick did fly back to the U.S.
Huh.
So she's not happy.
No.
She says the U.S. has abandoned them.
I can't really blame them at that point.
He has stayed. So he stayed. He stayed on the boat. He could have gone, but he stayed because she's in the hospital. So he wants to be, he can't go see her, but, so he's still on the boat.
Well, look.
So that's the latest.
That thing just.
Does it matter where you're quarantined?
I think it does.
I mean, they all have to spend. So the people that flew to California and Texas,
yeah,
they have to spend 14 more days quarantined.
I would tell you, I'd rather be quarantined in one of those places than I would overseas or certainly on a cruise ship. 100%. And then we got like almost 2,000 people that are dead. Did you see the one I was telling you about, the initial hospital that was tasked with fighting this, the hospital over in China, their hospital director, the guy in charge, he's dead now.
Really?
Yeah, the hospital director, this was the main like hub of it.
Now, did they kill him? Are we sure this is coronavirus? Because, you know China.
I know.
They get a little wild.
Well, they are saying that the hospital director of the main hospital that was going to combat this, he has passed away.
So is he a hero?
I, you could say a martyr, right? I mean, he died for the cause. I mean, he's trying to help people out. So we've got now, almost 2,000 people that are dead, 70,000 plus cases. Kind of scary.
That is scary. Well, anyway, she has to stay until Friday because they're making her, she needs at least two back-to-back negative tests, and she didn't have that, which is why Tokyo wouldn't release her. So I actually kind of see the other side of this, too.
Yeah.
You know, I get that they're frustrated and pissed, and I'm not sure how many people with the virus actually flew back to the States, but I can see why they kept her. She tested positive.
Yeah.
She was sick.
I mean, you can't.
You ain't getting on that flight.
No. Well, and that's probably at the end of it. It's a good thing. You can't.
So the next American plane getting U.S. Americans out of there won't be until March 4th.
The U.S. Americans.
So perhaps she can go on that. All right.
All I know is I don't want it, and I do think that sometimes we hype stuff up and we do fear mongering, but this appears pretty scary.
Wait, weren't you just last week saying you didn't understand the hype behind it?
I was a little.
You've come around.
I was a little like, are we really like kind of banging the drum on this like too soon? But it does seem to be pretty scary.
All right, coming up next, how does a college become a university? It is 4:46 on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Was that a Jim Tom Sula grunt tossed in there? I like that.
It was.
I haven't heard that in a while.
Kind of peppered in for some flavor, if you will.
Certainly he's in the XFL, right?
No, he's still coaching in the NFL. I don't remember.
Is he?
Yeah, I saw him last year. He's a defensive line coach. I wanted to say the Redskins, maybe.
All right. Yeah, I think that's right.
I'm going to look that up.
I think that's right. Old Jim. All right, this is in the news, February 18, 2020. What else do we have here? Linfield is now Linfield University.
Yes, no longer Linfield College.
Yeah, they have become a university.
Oh, he's with the Cowboys, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Just new? McCarthy?
Yeah, he was with the Redskins for the last couple years, but he is now the defensive line coach with your and my Dallas Cowboys.
The Linfield School Board of Trustees voted to approve the change from college to university on Saturday. School officials said the transition will increase what Linfield offers to students, but won't change the school. I've always wondered that. Like, what is that?
I don't know. Is it merely a title sort of thing?
It sounds like it. But they'll change its name, but won't change what makes them special, said the president.
But it said that it's going to offer more, so.
Yeah.
What?
Anybody?
Is it just like a prestige thing? You're like, oh, I go to
they offer
Linfield
more programs.
But it said it won't change.
Linfield will remain a small, high-quality liberal arts institution. Now, though, we will be able to expand by having schools and colleges within the university and by offering master's degrees. So, yeah, I think what they're saying is it's going to change. They're just going to grow it. But at the same time, I think what he's trying to say is it's going to remain intimate and sexy.
Okay, question, though. Is there a difference? Can you just pick and choose whether you want to be a college or a university?
I don't know. That was what I wanted to say. I don't know. I've never thought about it.
Like,
but
can Washington State change from Washington State University to Washington State College?
I kind of always thought it may have been a numbers thing, you know?
Well, now that I'm done Googling Jim Tom Sula, I will Google this and see if our research department, a.k.a. My computer, can give us an answer.
Get us an answer on that, will you?
See what I can do.
Tomorrow is Rip City Day.
Really?
Yeah. You know what Rip City means, right?
Not really. I don't. It's Bill Shonley. Well, no.
Yeah, like the rip of the net. Like the swish.
But it was always like when it was a dunk, and now it's just like it's become us.
Rip City!
I may have found an answer to your question.
Rip City or this?
No, the college university question.
Answer away.
Oh.
A smaller institution that usually offers undergraduate degrees is considered a college. There are even community college and junior colleges that provide students with two-year degrees.
Wait,
most
time out. What defines smaller? See, that's where I thought it was like.
Well, I'm going to get to. It has nothing to do with size. I'm just going to get it.
Well, it said smaller.
I know. One second.
It's all about
Let
size.
Me finish. Most four-year colleges offer bachelor's degrees, with some also offering associate degrees. In contrast, an institution that offers both undergraduate and graduate degrees is considered a university.
Aha!
They offer undergraduate programs that will lead a student towards a master's degree or a doctorate.
Cool.
So a college cannot offer graduate degrees, otherwise it becomes a university.
Sounds that way if this website is correct.
Are you going to go get your master's at Linfield University?
No. I'm working on my master's right now.
Are you?
I am.
In what?
Master's in Business Administration.
Are you really?
Yeah, online.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Cool, man. Yeah. Good for you.
Trying to get it.
Where?
Arkansas State University.
The Red Wolves.
No kidding.
Boom. Yes.
That's great.
Yeah.
That online stuff, man. My wife did that. She got her master's online. Boise State.
Yeah, you can.
Great deal.
Yeah, you can find them. You don't have to attend any classes. And it's, you know, it's really.
I didn't know you were doing that. That's awesome.
It's really affordable. And yeah.
Why are you doing that? You leaving us?
twofold. One, just education's good. It's good to challenge yourself.
Yeah.
And something I'm working on, kind of on a side thing. It certainly
mysterious.
Helps. It helps to open doors.
To honor the Blazers' 50th season, Mayor Ted Wheeler will proclaim February 19th, 2020, Rip City Day during tomorrow's
City
Council meeting.
Do we all have to do a bad Bill Shawn?
Did you say February 19th, 2019?
I hope I didn't say that. I didn't mean that. 2020
okay.
is what I meant.
I was wondering if this was a year-old article, though. Okay, just making sure.
No! Your noted newsman is up on the latest. This is a recent article. From Jared Cowley on KGW.com. Okay, so Bill Shonley has said that he doesn't know where the phrase came from or even what it means, but it became his most well-known phrase along with other favorites such as bingo, bango, bongo. Yeah,
lickety brindle up the middle. I've heard him say that with Rip City, that he has no idea where it came from. So it was my impression that it kind of came out of the air, that it's not the rip of the net. Just Rip City.
Well, what would it be then?
I don't know. He just came up with it. He's in his own words. I've heard him say
that. I know,
that
but
time
something
and time again.
Led him to say Rip City. Like, I wonder if that was. Come on, Sean.
I've never heard it.
We need more
explanation for it.
All right. Well, tomorrow is Rip City Day.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I don't know, but I'm guessing it's a day of celebrating the Blazers.
Yeah. So it says in 1971 on this day, February 18th, in a game against the Lakers, guard Jim Barnett hit a long shot. This was before the three-point shot.
Yeah.
Okay, you remember that?
Yes.
It's a new thing.
It is a new thing.
Back then, it was peach baskets.
I do not remember the NBA, but I remember watching the college basketball tournament back in the day without the three-point line.
Yeah, I do too. That old, Mike.
I do not remember the NBA without it, though. I don't know when that came about.
So he tied the game on that shot, and as the shot swished through the net, Shonley, the radio voice of the Blazers, blurted out, "Rip City!" Just like that.
So. Exactly like that. No different whatsoever.
So he should just, if he doesn't know where it came from, he should just say that's what it was. Like the rip in the net. It's just way cooler. Come on, Sean. All right.
Okay.
And by the way, for the people that are being sticklers, no, I am not.
Sticklers about what?
Because I didn't deny that when you said, are you leaving the program? No, I am not leaving the program for the Masters thing. I'm not.
Well, it sure still sounds like it.
It is not. And it really is one of those things that isn't really serving a purpose. It's just kind of something that to do.
It's great?
It's honestly more of just a challenge than anything else.
If you left.
Yeah.
You know what's great?
What?
There's another one of you just like you that we can just slide right in.
That is true. the bigger suit.
Your brother.
Yeah, right around the corner.
If you left, we'll just call your brother.
Yeah.
He'll do it, right?
Yeah.
For that big radio money?
What else is he doing?
Yeah, what's he doing?
He's over there working for the county. No, believe it or not, it was just kind of one of those things.
Good for you, man. I seriously, I think that's great.
Where it was just, it wasn't really suggested. It was just somebody who was like, because the guy that I'm kind of doing something with,
what's his name?
He has one.
Sexy.
And he kind of threw it out there and he goes, you know, it kind of opens doors. And he said it was kind of a fun challenge and he didn't really need to do it either. He did it a couple years ago and he was kind of talking about it. And I don't know, it just kind of seemed like a fun New Year's sort of resolution to, become educated.
All right. Hot 5 at 5 is coming up next. How many times will the Astros get plunked? And Deion Sanders preaches next hour on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.